Non ti vuoi.
Brother Wilson Lynn will ask a blessing on Brother Finette's service.
Our gracious, loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we come before thy precious throne of grace in reverence to thy holy name. We're thankful, dear Father, that you have called us out of darkness into this marvelous light to show forth the praises of thy holy name and all the wonderful blessings you have bestowed upon us. We're thankful, dear Father, for the Holy Spirit and the begettal of that Holy Spirit. We're thankful that we and can look to thee, through thee, through thy precious word, dear Father. And we look to thee, dear Father, for the exceeding great and precious promises that you have given unto us, that we may dwell in our hearts and minds. Now, dear Father, we pray for all of thy dear children the whole world over, wherever they may be. We pray for the sick, the afflicted, and the isolated, and those undergoing trials and difficulties for one reason or another. And we also pray, dear Father, for the peace of Israel. And we ask, dear Father, too, thy blessing be with our dear brother Ken Furnett as he ministers unto us the precious word. We also pray, dear Father, that thou would continue to bless us with the truth, that we may stand in this evil day. For we pray and we ask, dear Father, that your blessing will be continued with us throughout this day. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Brother Furnett's is going to serve us now, and his topic is Our Desires for 2004. Brother Furnett.
Thank you, Brother Stephen. And good morning, my dear brethren. Sister Kamlita and I and our daughter Charlene are very happy to be here at this convention. We'd like to bring you the Christian loving greetings from the brethren back home that we meet with from our class. We have loving greetings from the brethren from Vancouver, Canada. We have greetings from the province of Alberta. Brethren there called us, and they wanted to express their Christian loving greetings to you here. The brethren from the province of Saskatchewan also wanted to be remembered to you here, as well as Brother and Sister Jones from Winnipeg, Canada. We have Christian loving greetings for the brethren from Romania, from the country of Ukraine, from the country of Moldova. They all send us their sincere Christian loving greetings. And we're happy for a lot of the brethren in Europe of the witness work that they do there. And we're happy for them. They have translated 7 booklets into the Romanian language. A couple of years ago, they're reprinting them now again because they ran out. They've translated them into the Russian language, which is being used and taken over across the border to Russia. We talked yesterday about the laboring in the vineyard. And any of you brethren that have a desire to work in the vineyard, we would certainly invite you to come and spend some time at the Dawn. If you would like to do some housekeeping maybe, or cooking, or you'd like to work in the shipping department, you're certainly welcome to come and spend some time with us. And some of you who are computer-oriented, we certainly can use you on the new machine, the print-on-demand, and your skills will certainly be used for a good purpose. Our year 2003 has come to a close 2 days ago. And what do we find? We are still here. We haven't been changed. We know as we look this past year in the world, it has been one of many tragedies. And such as drought, we've had forest fires, the worst kind in history. We had the loss of approximately 4,000 homes on the North American continent from forest fires. You had a loss of 3,600 alone in California. The year started off, 2003, with the war in Iraq. We had Mandela on television with Oprah asking for the world to come up with a cure for AIDS. And he told us there was 46 million HIV carriers in the world. We were told that 6,000 people die of AIDS per day in Africa alone. We find that in the United States, you have on an average of 50,000 people die from automobile accidents. We find this past year Israel has no peace. We find suicide bombings. Terrorism is on the rise. We find that the year 2003 ended with a terrible earthquake in Iran. We've seen flash floods, mudslides in California, and what a year it has been. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 22, yes, we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain, waiting. And so what is our question? Prophet Habakkuk in the first chapter and verse 2 says, how long, O Lord, will I call for help and thou wilt not hear? I believe that Prophet Habakkuk pictures the church in the flesh at this end of the age. Do we say that within our hearts? How long, O Lord? How long will there be violence, iniquity, wickedness, strife, contentions arise? Law is ineffective. No justice, no righteousness. We ask the question, how long, O Lord? And Paul gives us an answer in Romans 8:19. The world is waiting for what? Waiting for the revealment of the sons of God. Waiting for the apocalypse. As one talk host said a few weeks ago, this world is spiritually and morally bankrupt. Do you agree? I think you do. And so our desire is that this social order would somehow would end and bring peace not only to the Middle East, to Israel alone, but to the whole world. There's our desire. But let us consider the good side of 2003. I'm sure for you it's been a year of many wonderful memories. Memories of fellowship, memories of rich blessings from God's storehouse at different conventions. I know that we have enjoyed, and I think you have too, you've enjoyed the visit of our brethren from afar. We enjoyed to hear their labors of love, and they tell us of their labors of love for the truth. And so we look back to 2003 of the privilege we had of witnessing to different ones in various ways. And you and I have been blessed with the truth and have been blessed with His light, His wisdom, and being held together in a bonds of His love. And we're grateful for that. Yes, as we heard some of the testimonies a few days ago, this past year we did have some sorrows. Yes. The loss of loved ones and death. We have feelings. There's been the source of emptiness. We have had a tragedy also in the loss of a loved one in our own family. But we hope and pray that you and I can reach that mark also. And so we look at 2004, that we want to be able to render service to God, and we can do it as Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verse 10 tells us. So whatever your hand finds to do, verily do it with all your might. Now, I'll be reading scriptures from the New American Standard, so it might sound just a few words different. But this is our desire for this year. Do you remember the theme text of the General Convention last year? Woe unto you if you preach not the gospel. Matthew 24:14 also. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Brethren, this should be our desire for this year. And this is what Brother Russell did in his lifetime. This is what Brother Woodward did in his lifetime as well. And this is what we want to do to continue this year. To preach the gospel of the kingdom worldwide. And so as you and I enter this new year, 2004, what do we say? We say, thanks be to God that His grace has preserved us. And you're here. And you're still here. He has kept us from falling. We find ourselves still of one heart, of one mind, in respect to His word and His service. And our thanks is to our God that this new year finds us still standing fast. We're appreciating the truth in its full accord with all the divine appointments with which He has kept us from falling. Brethren, let's you and I this year, which is before us now, have a desire of a gospel and greater zeal of a true sanctification of our hearts to the Lord. That we should be more diligent in His service, in witnessing of the gospel. We want to remember the throne of the heavenly grace, of the general interest of the harvest work. We want to have our thoughts and words and doings to the intent that you and I may be better enabled to serve Thee and to serve Thy dear brethren throughout the world. What else should be my desire for this year? What is going to be your desire for this year? I will strive to be simple and sincere towards all. I will seek not to please and honor self, but the Lord. We read this every morning at convention. But I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, to the truth, to the brethren, and with all with whom I will have to do, not only in great matters, no, but also in the little things of life. Remember, the Lord sees and hears. What will be our communion with the Lord be like this year? Did you think about it? Yesterday, as we entered the new year, we know that prayer changes things. Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 32. It says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Will we do likewise for our loved ones in the truth? Can you and I be more loyal this year to our Lord and His cause? We hope and pray that our desire this year will continue to be dependent upon the Lord and the power of God more and more. We too should live in constant realization of our family relationship to our Heavenly Father, also to our elder brother, and to all the members of the household of faith. ALL, all. You and I want to remember, and we want to be included in John the 17th chapter in verse 20 and 21. You remember the Lord's last prayer. And it reads, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believed in me through their word, that they may all be one, as even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. We know prayer changes things. It can help you and me this year to improve our ways. As James 5:16 says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Just how much? We may not know this side of the veil. Psalms 119, verse 105. Let's use thy word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and verse 21, Paul says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And I would encourage you to read the manna of August the 18th. Wonderful comment on this scripture. Let's turn to Hebrews the 10th chapter and verses 24 and 25. And let's see how we can apply these scriptures to our consecrated life at this new year. What should be my aspirations? What should be your aspirations? And so as we look at the scriptures, as Paul says, there's 5 points he brings out in here. He says, let us consider. Consider how to stimulate one another unto love and good deeds. And Paul says, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. All the more as you see the day drawing near. Now some Bibles use the word provoke here, King James does. But the word provoke means to arouse or to stimulate to activity. Paul used in our text to describe an incitement to good works, good thoughts, and so on. Psalmist David said in Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2, he says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor does he stand in the path of the sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And so you and I, as new creatures in Christ Jesus, we have been begotten to what? To new hopes, new wishes. That is from above. Our studies may bring new gems this year. Yes? As one brother says, I went through the tabernacle dozens of times in my lifetime, and every time I studied it, I come up with some new gem. And you will do the same this year. Our hearts should be such that our disposition would appreciate and pursue its counsels, which is first to purity, then to peacefulness, gentleness, meekness, mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Our heavenly wisdom would be such it will encourage to stimulate one another. Our Master himself said in Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 16, by their fruits you shall know them. Brethren, as our day draws near, we will judge ourselves by answering to ourselves the question, is my own spirit or my own disposition one which may touch sin in its various forms? What do you mean by that? Well, such as envy, strife, vainglory, slander, evil speaking, evil surmises, and so on. Or will my disposition be the kind that for this new year, it'll increase in righteousness, having the spirit of the truth, having goodness and gentleness and meekness and patience and love. It would be so grand and so pleasing to the Lord when we can work in these avenues. We find that Apostle Paul is addressing the church in Hebrews the 10th chapter and verse 24. He's addressing the new creation in Christ Jesus. And here Paul will notice he classes himself with these, and he uses the word us. We're to consider one another. We're to consider what would be helps and what would be hindrances. and what would be encouragement and what would be stumbling blocks. And we are to do all in our power to assist one another to run with patience the race for the heavenly prize. What a blessing it would be in the church and in the home. This brotherly consideration is what the Apostle Paul is urging upon us. Consider one another to encourage, to stimulate to love and to good works or good deeds. We are to avoid every word or act that might be called bad works, such as strife, bitterness, envy. Paul tells us further, forget not the assembling of ourselves together before the people. Why? Why? Because none of us is so strong in the new nature that we can say, well, we don't need the fellowship of kindred mind. Our Lord has encouraged His people to seek each other's fellowship. Why? For companionship in the study of His Word. Paul in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in verse 25, intimates that as the day draws near, there will be the more need for observance, more need of instruction, respecting the fellowship, the communion of the Lord's people with each other. And you know, experiences prove this to us. As we know that we're living in the day of the Lord's vengeance, and this has been brought greater pressure or stress in life, on business. And it's a rush to keep abreast of the times. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. Here Paul is exhorting and encouraging one another to steadfastness. And this in turn will help us, dear brethren, to offset this increasing influence of the world and its affairs upon us. You know, Paul was so right of his statement in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in verses 12 and 13. For our struggle, Paul says, is not against flesh and blood. Yeah, sure, we have flus. We get sick. We get colds. But that's not the serious part of it. Paul says, but we struggle against what? The rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. You've watched television. You've seen some of the programs. And you know, they always say, parents, do you know what your children are watching? You have the psychic programs now, more so than ever before on television and radio. And so we see that the world is in a chaos. But we know that the judgments of this day, first of all, must begin with the house of God. We're going to be tested not how much memory or knowledge we have of knowing the scriptures, or quoting pages from who knows what. We're going to be tested for our heart attitude one to another. That will be our final test. And so as we enter into this new year, let us be reminded, as Paul did, as we see the day drawing on, that we are to be more diligent in assembling ourselves with those of like precious faith, the more earnest in exhorting or stimulating to love and to good works or good deeds. And we're to assist one another in putting on the whole armor of God. And Paul encourages us to continue our fight against sin and its influences in ourselves and in others. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verses 12 and 13, we find here that perfecting holiness in the reverence of the Lord is important. rendering service to the brethren. But then we drop to Hebrews, back to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 32. Paul calls our minds back to our first love, our first zeal. And what does Paul say? Paul says, but remember the former days, when after you've been enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Yes. As one brother came into the truth, he says, my, the truth is so marvelous. I'm going to tell my friends about it. He went to talk to his friends. Well, his friends were no longer his friends. So you can see the conflict and suffering that we sometimes endure. But Paul urges that faith in the Lord and the rewards which shall be granted by and by, when we shall be glorified as his saints, it is very necessary to our endurance of hardness as good soldiers. And that's why Paul says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And so this year, as Christians, we need the strength that is furnished through wisdom, the wisdom which comes through strength to a Christian in that which cometh from above, and an answer to our sincere prayer in James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraid it not, it shall be given him. Brethren, it was divine wisdom that enabled you and I to know and to appreciate in the first instance. None of us can say that it was through our own superior intelligence that we're able to see the truth. No. And in John the 8th chapter, verse 29, Jesus told his source of strength. Jesus said, he that sent me is with me. The Father had not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Are we able to do that this year? We're able to say and do those things that would be pleasing to the Heavenly Father. And this was the secret of our Lord's strength. He did always those things which pleased the Father. Because of this, he could realize the Father's presence always with him. In him and helped him over all the rough places. All these things which pleased the Father, as Jesus did. But I think our hearts can be perfected towards him. You remember 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, verse 9? We have divine assurance that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Another secret of the Master's great strength enabled him to do the Father's will at all times was his close communion with God in prayer. John 11:42. Jesus said to his Father, I know that thou hearest me always. Knowing this, Jesus never neglected an opportunity to approach his Father in times of need. Realizing the true source of strength which enabled him to serve him, the Master never neglected to give honor and glory to his Father. And we find this in John the 5th chapter and verse 30. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. What a blessing it would be this year for each one of us that we could always realize that of our own selves we can do nothing. It is when we do things without first seeking the divine will and blessings that we fail. As one individual said, well, the Lord doesn't give me an indication by Thursday, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Remember Habakkuk, wait on the Lord. Though it tarry, though the kingdom seems to tarry, wait for it. It'll come. Don't forget the promises made to Abraham how many years ago? 4,000 years ago. In thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We're still waiting. And the world is waiting. And so, dear brethren, it is when we go to the Lord for strength and upon Him entirely that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. This, then, is the true manner in which we can be strong in the Lord, as the Scriptures say, and in the power of His might. What's another source of strength for us to remember for this year? It is the fellowship with the brethren of like precious faith. It's through fellowship that we build one another up and our most holy faith. And so, brethren, if we neglect the privileges of fellowship when they are available to us, we're sure to grow weak and lean spiritually. And so, in failing to meet with brethren in their prayer and study meetings, you and I are neglecting one of the Lord's provisions through which He answers our prayers and He provides His grace and strength to help in times of need. One of the most important means of divine strength on behalf of us as Christians is the truth itself. The truth which a Christian finds divine guidance and strength. And so we hope and pray that you and I can maintain also the spirit of the truth which binds us together as thy Lord's people. We hope and pray and to realize that the truth of the gospel is a shield of strength. It's a protection for us. In Romans, the first chapter, verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We ask the question, why? For it is the power of God unto salvation, he tells us. That is to say that God manifests His power on behalf of His people. How? Through the gospel of Christ. That means that if we wish to be strong in the Lord and to provoke unto love and good works, we must maintain our standing in the truth. And to always recognize that it's only through the truth of which Christ Jesus Himself is the center that God deals with us. And so it is so important to keep the truth pure in our hearts and minds. Brethren, the evidences around us are increasing. We talked about it yesterday, the day before, that the church's career in the flesh is drawing to a close. Classes are getting smaller. The times indeed are short, we say. But let us turn, dear brethren, more than ever, to seek to avail ourselves to all the means of grace which the Lord has provided, nor that we mean instead be strong in Him, and indeed be strong in Him, and in the power of His might. And brethren, if we do those things, we are certain to be victorious, and we hope and pray that we will be more than overcomers for Him that loved us and who died for us. And so, in closing, we'd like to leave to you Romans 8, leave the scriptures Romans 8:37 and Romans 5:8. And so, what is your desire? What is my desire for this year? And that is in some way that you and I can bring honor and glory to the Heavenly Father this coming year. And we want to continue to join together to preach the good news of the kingdom worldwide. That's what we're set out to do. There's a legacy that Brother Russell left us, and I think we should continue that legacy to preach the good news of the kingdom worldwide. That is our mission as a church on this side of the veil. my prayer on your behalf is, my dear brethren, that somehow, in some way, that you and I can be at the marriage supper. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Kent, for focusing or giving us a very strong spiritual focus for the coming year. Now, the next meeting will be the studies, and if you weren't here yesterday, this front section will be, the room will be divided into three sections, front section, middle, and the rear. If you were here yesterday, you should go to the same section that you were in, because the study leaders are going to rotate. So go to the area where you were yesterday, and in that way you'll be able to get all the studies. Well, Brother Frenette has asked that we close with hymn number 238. 238, and we'll stand as we sing the last verse, and Brother Frenette will close with prayer.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful once again for the privilege, for the opportunity thou hast given us together, be together together as thy people, as thy children. And Heavenly Father, we're so grateful thou hast called us out of darkness this marvelous light. We thank thee for thy Son, Christ Jesus, who died in our behalf. And Heavenly Father, we pray that thou hast continued to lead us in the path of righteousness, hold us close to thee, hold us in the palm of thy hand. Help us to fulfill our covenant of sacrifice that we had made with thee. Heavenly Father, bless our fellowship one with another. And Heavenly Father, we pray for thy glorious kingdom to soon come, to end this long night of misery and woe, that the world will see the dawning of a new day. And Heavenly Father, forgive us, we have come short, we failed. As we commit ourselves in thy guidance throughout this day, we give thee thanks and ask it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Ken. It was very stimulating, very refreshing.